Well, just a few opening remarks from me before I begin my sermon in earnest. Thank you. These are the words that really are first and foremost in my heart this morning, and I'm sure on the hearts of many of you. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness to this congregation. Thank you, God, for a PNC which has done strong, prayerful work, who has carried a burden on behalf of this congregation. If you're a part of the PNC, can you please stand up and let's recognize these people for their faithfulness. So grateful for all of you. My heart says thank you to the Holy Spirit because the Spirit has guided this church and now is leading a candidate to be senior pastor of this church. As I say those words to God with you, I do indeed share in your joy and your anticipation and your excitement in what is to come and for what God is doing and for God's continued faithfulness. In the coming weeks, I'll be saying thank you to a great many people as my ministry at this church closes out. But this morning, I want to express gratitude for a particular person because it's Pastor Cindy's last Sunday with us for a few months as she goes off on her sabbatical. Cindy, thank you for your partnership in ministry, your support for me, your strong following of Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness to this congregation. What a strong, joyful, loving congregation this next senior pastor is stepping into. And that inheritance, Cindy, is due in large part to you and God's work through you. I know that I'm not alone in my gratitude for Cindy, and so I ask that you join me in supporting her during her sabbatical, or as I've been calling it, her Sabbath radical. So you can kind of do this, Sabbath radical. So Cindy does need our support. In fact, just this morning in a few hours, this afternoon, she's leaving off on a camping adventure, the first part of her sabbatical, and she has a practical need. She needs a little mini propane gas grill. Does anyone have one of those you can loan to Pastor Cindy? I'm sure there must be one or two. Walt has one, the Shookmans. There's your gas grill. Beyond the gas grill, though, Cindy also needs our financial support, and many of you already have given that financial support. If you haven't yet done so, I ask that you join me in not only supporting Cindy prayerfully, but also financially so that this church can cover the cost of her sabbatical. So there's a couple ways to do that. You can simply write a check to the church, and in the memo line, write Pastor Cindy or write Frost Sabbath Radical. And also, we're going to be sending out an email letter this week, which will give an electronic link so that you can support Cindy financially. For me this morning, as is often the case, those words of thank you are attended with both joy and sorrow. I do have both this morning. I do have sorrow that I will no longer have the joy of being the pastor of this church. You know, when I signed up for this Bridge senior pastor position, which, by the way, it's a made-up title. We're the first church in the history of the world to have a Bridge senior pastor. When I signed up for that, I signed up knowing that that moment of sorrow would come and knowing that I would love and be loved and then would have to leave. As you just heard from John, my last Sunday in worship will be in 2 weeks on July 17th when there will be one worship service at 10 a.m. This will allow for my ministry to come to an end prior to the calling of your next senior pastor and then for a break between my leadership of this church and his, as is typical when a church moves from an interim period to the leadership of an installed senior pastor. And so, sisters and brothers, those words, thank you, are deep in my heart. Gratitude to God for his faithfulness. One of my favorite Christian authors says this, that there's really just three types of prayers, and I think you'd agree. The first is thank you, the next is help, and the next is wow. And I really think that's true, don't you? As you all have been praying over the course of your lives, that sometimes we say thank you, and that's on our hearts this morning. Sometimes we're in need of God's help, and sometimes we just simply say wow at God's creation and God's faithfulness, which that is a word of praise. And I do agree with this author, but I would have to add one more type of prayer, one more word of prayer, and that prayer is this: why? It's a prayer of lament. And that's the prayer that comes to us this morning from our text, which is Psalm 22. Lament is commended to us by the Christian tradition, and to be honest, I think it's one of the strengths of our faith that God encourages precisely this kind of prayer. So let's turn now to hearing God's word for us in Scripture from Psalm 22. And as we turn to Scripture, let's do so asking the Holy Spirit to speak. So will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we do look for you to speak. We believe that you stand behind these words, that you whispered these words to the psalmist, and now that you long to whisper these words to us. So Lord, speak, for we are listening, and we are your servants. This we pray in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust you even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan. They encircle me, roaring lions, tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all of my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off, O my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him, and you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship, and all who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. This is the word of the Lord. Why? That is the question of lament. It's directed from our hearts to God. Why? It's a question I've heard often as a pastor. It's a question that's been on my heart as a follower of Jesus, sometimes screaming out, God, why? This past Sunday, I was sitting in my office with Pastor Cindy, and we were praying. We were praying for a beloved couple of this congregation, Tom and Jane Godding. Many of you know them. Such a lovely couple, a wonderful couple, faithful, funny, good-looking. I can't say enough great things about this couple. And as many of you know, also, both of them have cancer. And Jane, this past Monday, and so Sunday was preceding this, was going in for a major surgery to remove the cancer that was in her. And, you know, thanks be to God, that surgery was successful. The surgeon removed all of the cancer that was within her, and no new cancer was found. And I'm sure Jane and Tom were saying thank you in that moment. But, you know, praying for her before that, we didn't know what was going to happen. And I think both Cindy and I wanted to be with Tom and Jane on that Monday for the surgery, but we were unable to be there. Although, you know, thanks be to God for the way this congregation operates, because good friends of theirs, Erica and Mark Nosikoff, were there all day on that Monday during surgery. They were waiting with Tom. And, you know, as a pastor, I love that. I love that strength of this church, that you all are there for each other in times like these. But as I said, Cindy and I were praying with the Guardians this last Sunday. And, you know, before we prayed, I simply asked, you know, how can we be praying for you? And they both had a chance to share. And Tom simply said this. He said, "Why her? Why her?" And I've been a pastor long enough, I know not to answer that question, because the question's not directed at me. It's a question which is directed at God. And that is the prayer of lament. God, why? This kind of prayer, lament, is commended to us by Scripture. I think this is one of the deep strengths of the Christian faith, because to my knowledge, in no other religion are we encouraged, are we enabled to pray this kind of prayer, to shout out to God and say, "God, why? Where are you? What are you doing? Why won't you fix it?" This is a prayer that's in many of the Psalms. In fact, out of the 150 Psalms, 60 of them, well over a third, are prayers of lament. An entire book of the Bible, it's called Lamentations, it's all lament as Israel sat weeping and mourning as they were in exile in Babylon, and they were asking those questions, "God, why? Where are you? Why are you letting this happen?" Lament is encouraged for us in Scripture. And it's encouraged to us by our Lord, who also engaged in that kind of prayer. And that actually is why Psalm 22 is so important, because Jesus himself prayed this prayer as he was dying on the cross for us. Some of his last words spoken were these, quoting the first words of Psalm 22, verse 1, and he said these words in Aramaic. He said, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" These words of lament, were on the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ as he was dying on the cross for us. So what more could commend to us this kind of prayer, this prayer of lament? And no wonder that these words were on the lips of Jesus, because Psalm 22, to be honest, functions almost like a script for what is usually called the Passion of Jesus, which means the suffering of Jesus and his death, all that together we call the Passion. And as Jesus was moving through those events on Good Friday, he was experiencing much of what is named in Psalm 22. So verse 7, "All who see me mock me, and they hurl insults, shaking their heads." In Mark 15, verse 29, we read this as Jesus is on the cross. "Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, 'So, you who were going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself.'" Verse 8 of Psalm 22. "He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." Matthew 27, verse 43. "In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. 'He saved others,' they said, 'but he cannot save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him.' He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him." Verse 15, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death." John 19, 28. "Later, knowing that all was completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.'" Verse 16, dogs have surrounded me, a band of evil men has encircled me, they have pierced my hands and my feet, which of course is precisely the experience of Jesus on the cross. And verse 18, they divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Mark chapter 15, verse 24, and they crucified him, dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. Do you see, there's no wonder that these words of lament are on the heart and on the lips of Jesus, because as he's walking through his own passion, his own suffering, his own death, Psalm 22 is working like a script that he's going by line, and this is his experience. And so as he's dying on the cross, he does not just say it, he screams it. My God, why have you forsaken me? This is the prayer of Jesus. Jesus prays that prayer, and the response, as is often the case, is silence. There's no word from the Father, no spoken word. There's no word like there was at the baptism of Jesus saying, "This is my beloved son." There is only silence following that prayer, and that is often the case with lament. We cry out and we say, "God, why? Where are you? What are you doing? God, why won't you fix this?" And we hear silence. That is the response of God. Silence is the context for lament. Silence is the birthplace. It is the ground of lament. It's where lament lives. In fact, the most powerful lament is not when we scream out to God, "Why?" but when even that word fails us and we have no words to speak and we are simply silent before God, unable to say anything. Silence is the context of lament. And God is in the silence. That's where we find God. We scream out, we shout, we cry, we say, "God, why?" And then eventually our words fail us and we are silent. And in that silence, we find and enter into the faithfulness of God. We remember. And that is the strength of Psalm 22. It is lament. And that first verse sets the tone, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But David, in the midst of this crying out, and I'm sure much silence in between these verses, David experiences the faithfulness of God. He remembers. Verse 4, "In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them." David is remembering the faithfulness of God to Israel. Verse 9, "Yet you, God, brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast." That is a prayer of remembrance. As David sits in the silence of lament, he finds that God is with him in the silence, and he remembers, and so experiences the faithfulness of God. That prayer, that question, why, is so important, as is silence. There is an abiding, powerful, profoundness in the prayer of silence. Simply when we have no more words to speak and we are silent before God, and we do experience God's faithfulness and God's presence with us. A couple weeks ago, 6 of our young people, all of them happened to be girls, went on a mission trip to Denver, and they did some incredible work there, working with poor people and helping build houses and paint. And Patty Baker faithfully led that trip. Pastor Cindy and I went at the beginning of the trip and also at the end just to be with these girls and experience a bit of what they were experiencing. So on Monday night, Cindy and I drove down to Littleton, which is where they were staying at St. James Presbyterian Church, and we were to spend the evening with them, which we did. And the plan was for us to go to the Columbine Memorial, because about a mile away from this church is Columbine High School, where, as you know, 12 students and one teacher died April 20th, 1999. By the way, the oldest of these kids was born 4 months after that event in 1999. Now, I was, of course, alive in 1999. In fact, I was living in Colorado. I was a teacher at a school, and so that event was incredibly emotional for me. In fact, my heart is still raw about it. So I was anticipating a lot of emotion and going to see the Columbine Memorial, which was our plan, and that's exactly what we did. And these six young women and Cindy and I and Patty, we moved into this memorial, which is this beautiful space at this park, not more than a mile, actually less than that, from Columbine High School. It's an incredibly well-done memorial. And as we moved into that space, there was silence among the nine of us, for which I was thankful because I began to read each of these plaques about these 13 people who lost their lives and their stories and words of love from their parents and their favorite Bible verses and portions of diaries that they'd written not days before that attack. And so I was beginning to be swept up into this very holy ground, and I was thankful for the silence that was occurring. But then there was this other trip of youth who were a part of the mission trip. They were staying at the same church, and there were 40 middle schoolers, and they got to this memorial after we did. And they came, and this is what middle schoolers do, with a lot of noise, right? So all these middle schoolers kind of barged into this memorial, just making a lot of noise, and my heart sank because I thought, oh, well, it's going to be ruined and no more silence. But within a minute or two, every kid was silent. They didn't have to be told to be silent. They knew to be silent because they were on holy ground, and they were lamenting. They were lamenting in silence. Silence is the context of lament, and it is a powerful prayer. So let us not disdain these prayers of lament. Let us not worry that we can't shout out to God, but also we are commended to engage in this practice of being silent before the Lord when words fail us. And again, almost on cue, this morning there's something else to rage against God about, isn't there? 100 or more dead in Baghdad. And we do scream out, God, why? Enough. God, what are you doing? And then words fail us, and we sit in silence. And in that silence, which is the most profound way to lament, we find God. We find God is present to us. God is faithful. God is in the midst of the silence. And we remember. And as we remember God's faithfulness of the past, we step into God's faithfulness of the present. And then something surprising happens. Out of that silence which follows the shouting, but in the midst of the silence, finding the faithfulness of God, we begin to experience what I'm going to call rebellion. Columbine High School, they are, and I think we have a slide of this, they are the Columbine Rebels. And I love that. You know, of course, that's the perfect mascot for a bunch of teenagers. I have a teenager now, so I know this is deeply a part of being a teenager, is rebellion. And I imagine before April 20th, 1999, that's what that mascot meant to them. They were simply the rebels. It was a good thing to be at a football game. But after that event, they were rebels in a different way because of the power of lament, because they did scream out why, and after they screamed that out, they then sat in silence, that same silence that those 50 or so young people got pulled into as we stepped into that memorial. See, out of that silence comes rebellion, and that's why God commends this kind of prayer to us. He knows that when we scream out and then sit in silence, that he will order our hearts to rebel against the evil and against the injustice. You see, God is against these things. He was against that shooting. He is against the bombing in Baghdad this morning. And so when we find God in the silence, we find the power of God to rebel against that which is evil, against that which is unjust, against that which should not happen. This is why we must pray in this way so we can rebel with God against that which is opposed to God. And so, First Pres, Fort Collins, do not disdain this kind of prayer. Do not hesitate to be silent before God when words fail you, because you will find God and you too will begin to rebel. You will rebel, and I pray that you would, against the injustice which is in this city. We don't have to travel far to find it. Against the evil which is in this city. Against poverty, would you rebel against that in this city? As we sit in silence, we find that God is faithful, and we begin to rebel. Even we begin to rebel against the assumptions that are among us, the assumption that the unity we have in Christ is not enough to hold us together, no matter where we sit or stand on the political, the theological line. It is enough, and we need to rebel against the thought that Christ's unity is not enough. We must rebel. You must rebel against the assumption that this church, this building, this worship service is for you. It's not. It's for others. And as Bonhoeffer said, the church is only the church when it exists for others. And so, First Pres, I would say, rebel against that thought and against that inclination to turn inwards and be the church that is for others. That's just a number of the things that could come out of this silence, and God would make you, like these Columbine students, into rebels. Rebels for Jesus. That has a nice ring to it for a bunch of Presbyterians. That rebellion comes out of silence, because in the silence of lament, we find that God is with us. We find that God in Jesus experienced the deepest kind of human suffering and hate and evil and experienced that for us. And so how can we not rebel? Because Good Friday and Holy Saturday turn into Easter Sunday, where there is resurrection. The weeping may last through the night, but the joy comes in the morning. A church may go through a season of unpleasantness, but then is born into a season of hope and goodness and trust and love. And thanks be to God for that. So let us pray. Let us pray, thank you and help and wow, but let us not forget about this other prayer of lament and the silence that comes with it.